We're continuing our little journey again in Genesis for a little while. We're on to Genesis chapter 26 today, and I thought it is following his father's footsteps. Genesis chapter 26 is about Isaac. And who was Isaac's dad?
Abraham.
Right, Abraham. Well, is it a good thing or a bad thing to follow in father's footsteps? It depends who your father is. That's a good answer, yes. And also it depends on what father's doing at the time, as you'll see. So let's look at our next one then first, please. Now there was a famine in the land, besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. So Isaac is living in Canaan, and famines come and go, you know. And one of the tragedies about the situation in Israel, it's very dependent on the weather as to how things are. There's another place called Egypt that's less dependent on the weather. Do you know why? Because of the River Nile. Yes. So that was always the first option. If things got difficult in Canaan, Egypt was your next stop. That's what Abraham did. And that's what Jacob's going to do later on. But here we find something slightly different. So Isaac sets off to a place called Gerar. That's a valley running down the river. You see the rivers there, can't you? Yeah. Well, the valley runs down there towards the main route towards Egypt. So that's what he's up to next, yeah? So he's on the way to Egypt, just like that. Well, that's fairly sensible, isn't it? When there's a famine, well, we'll see. Next then, please. That's not the next one, is it? That's the first one. Yes, there we are. Now there was a famine in the land. We're back on that. Yes, he went to Gerar, to Abimelech. Where, question I've got for you here. In the story that we're going to read, where are Jacob and Esau? You don't know. I don't know either. But I'll make a guess that Jacob and Esau aren't born yet. I think chapter 26 is chronologically before chapter 25. In chapter 25 we saw the issue over the meal, you know. He wanted the birthright, yeah? But this chapter deals with something I think that's gone on before. The reason I say that is that there's going to be an issue about Isaac and Rebekah being husband and wife. Let me tell you this, if you've got kids with you, everybody knows you're husband and wife, yeah? So I don't think the kids were around at the time, yeah? So I think it's earlier than that. That's my speculation. You won't read it in the commentaries. I saw it in one place on the internet. Other than that, I had to make it up myself. There you go. Right, so, next slide, please. So, the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands." So, before he gets any further, the Lord appears to him. God can turn up at any time, you know. And in order to prevent Isaac going down to Egypt, he says, "No, you stay here. This is all your land." Although he tells him to sojourn there. A sojourn means you live there as a tenant rather than the owner. Because although it's going to be all his property in the end, ultimately, as his descendants, yeah, he doesn't own any of it. And so he's told to stay around and I'll bless you, I'll be with you and I bless you. So God steps in to prevent him going down to Egypt. And the little lessons I've drawn out as we go along is, what Dad did may not be what God wants you to do. It may have been perfectly right, and it was, for Abraham to go where he went. But where Abraham went doesn't mean to say you've got to go the same. You got the idea?
Yeah.
Yeah, God deals with us as individuals. I know we've got family blessings and all of that, but you know, we need guidance from God for ourselves, not for grandfather or whatever it may be. Yeah. So, and at this point, God renews the covenant. What he's told Abraham, he now tells Isaac personally, and he passes on this promise to Isaac. And there are several things in it. There are at least three. I've just got two there for the moment. One is that he's told he's going to have the land as his inheritance. Yeah, so the land of Canaan is going to belong to Isaac and his descendants. You know what Isaac and his descendants are? The Jews. I hope they get this in the news in the world these days, because they don't seem to have it. Who does the land belong to? Israel. There we are. And then he's going to be told he's going to have many descendants. Well, at this stage I think he doesn't have many. I don't think he has any. That's what I'm surmising about the chronology of the thing, yeah? So God made a promise to him, he's going to have real blessings. And what do you do when you promise real blessings and you can't see any of them? You've got to be patient and you've got to trust. That's what it's about. That's what God wants to draw out of Isaac. He's got to trust God. It's no good dad trusting God. Dad's gone. Yeah? Now you've got to trust him for yourself. That's good news for you, brothers and sisters. Yeah? I mean, you can't live off other people's faith. And Isaac's got to do the same. He's got to trust the Lord. Next one then is the bit about the other thing. He says, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. God said that to Abraham, and again he's passing it on to Isaac, because Isaac is one of the ancestors of the tribe of Judah, who is one of the ancestors of the king of Israel, who is David, who is one of the ancestors of Jesus. That's where it's heading. Right, so in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. I'm so glad God included us in that, didn't you? Yeah. It's God. I'm glad God blessed the Jews. I'm so pleased. That's great. Yeah, but we're included in the blessing somewhere along the line as well. And so here we have a future blessing. It's a messianic promise, we'd call that, yeah? It's Jesus who comes to bless the world, and he was born of the Jews, yeah? And so this is the promise that he repeats to Isaac so that he can pass it on for the next generations. Wow, a promise to the world. You see, Genesis isn't just about a little plot in the Middle East. It's about the world, and it's all what God's going to do. So let's move on next, please. In your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes and my laws. That's a strange verse. I don't know if you realise that. What's strange about it? The law hadn't been given yet. The commandments hadn't been written down yet. That's the interesting thing. The commandments weren't written until 400 years later. So how can Abraham keep them? And of course, the other thing, I'll look at that in a moment. How can Abraham keep what isn't written down?
Because he's got a
God. He's met with the Lord. Yeah, so he's learned a few things from the Lord. But let me offer you this. It's a lovely passage in Romans chapter 2. I'll just read that to you if I may. In Romans chapter 2, we're told something about people who don't have the law. And it says this. I'll find the verse 14. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature the things required by the law, they are the law for themselves, even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing and even now defending them. So in other words, what he's saying is that God has written into every human being a copy of his commands. Now it's got a bit messed up and defaced and spoiled by sin, but in your conscience, yeah, there's the echoes of the commandments. That's what he's saying. And Abraham, well, he walked with God, he knew God, so the conscience is doing well for Abraham, I would like to suggest. So he's got God's words inside him. That's the other thing. And then just one more from Hebrews chapter 10. We're in a very privileged position, brothers and sisters, being in the times of the new covenant. And the new covenant was that God would do something on the inside, which is 10 verse 16. It says this. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time. It's a quote from Jeremiah, in fact. This is what the Lord says. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. So God's going to put his words, his call, his commands, his instructions on the inside. That's where they need to be, brothers and sisters. Because having instructions on the outside is all very good, but they're supposed to get on the inside. I'll just use a silly, I've used it before, illustration. If a footballer goes out to play on the field and he doesn't know the rule book, it's no good stopping halfway through the game to read the book. Yeah, he needs to know what it's like before he goes out there. We need that, brothers and sisters, when it comes to living for Jesus. We need to know what his instructions are. And so he's given them. And Abraham had got those too. Abraham believed God, didn't he? Abraham obeyed God, didn't he? So he's doing what the law required before the law was there. That's what it's about. And we're then told God's going to bless Isaac's offspring, Abraham's offspring, because Abraham obeyed my voice. That sounds a bit like, because Abraham did it, then you get blessed. Is that right?
Yes.
That's the way it works. But it wasn't, Abraham wasn't blessed because he did it. It was grace. I mean, why did God pick Abraham? Could have picked anybody, couldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, somebody out of Ur of the Chaldees. I'm sure there's plenty of others like him in some ways. God chose him by grace, brothers and sisters. Abraham believed by grace. And so, here we are, trusting the Lord. Faith shows itself in obedience. I hope you got that. It's no good telling me you believe the Lord and don't live like it. Yeah, faith leads to shows itself in obedience and leads to blessing. And it's all of God's grace. That's what it's about. So, Isaac is beginning to discover the ways of God, because God's showing him personally. Next slide, please. So Isaac settled in Gerar. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," for he feared to say "my wife," thinking lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance. Now he's following in father's footsteps.
Yeah.
Dad did that when he went to Egypt. Right? Is that a good example to follow?
Yeah.
No. Abraham had half an excuse, because Sarah was half related to him. Yeah? Isaac has got no excuse, because she is more than a cousin away. Yeah? So he can't say sister. It's called a lie, did you know that?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, he went to Gerar, and that's good. He stayed there, that's a babe. But then, because he was afraid. You can do some stupid things when you're afraid, did you know that? You really can, brothers and sisters. Fear is a very powerful thing. And the sad thing to my mind about all of this, and Jean and I, my wife, are talking about this, what a tragedy that he does this immediately after the Lord's appeared to him. How dumb can you get? Well, it's possible for him to be dumb, brothers and sisters, don't think yourself so smart either. We need to ask the Lord to help us in the decisions and the things that we do and the places we are. Anyway, it's a lie. That's plain and simple, that's what it was. It's a lie. And he did it to protect his own skin, and in doing so, put his wife at risk. He's not being a good husband, is he?
No,
he's not looking after her and protecting her. He's looking after number one. Not good. Next slide, please. When he'd been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of the window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. The word laughing is what it says, but it's used. Some translations say playing, other translations say caressing, because that's what was going on. Yeah? And interestingly, Abimelech looks out of this window. He's king, remember? And what do kings have? They have palaces, and they've got higher bedrooms than yours. Yeah? So they can look out and see what's going on around them. And he happens to pop his head out the window one day and say, "Oh, what's that? That's Isaac. And it's her. And they're in it together." Right, so, he says, after he'd been there a long time. Now, this is a terrible lesson, brothers and sisters, about lying. Don't do it. Yeah? Because you've got to keep covering your tracks, always. And it says, after a long time, he let it go easy. He thought, got away with it. Yes? No, is the answer. The lie is exposed eventually. How long can one keep up the pretense? Some people can do it for a long time. Mm-hmm. But your cover's going to get blown. And I promise you this, I've said this before as well. Yeah? The world can get away with it longer than you can.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason the world can get away with it longer than you can, because God is concerned about his kids. And he'll make sure he blows your cover in order to get you right. So, Isaac, time's up. His cover is blown. And the interesting thing is that this happened by accident. The king just happened to look out the window. No, it's God at work again. God is another example of God's care both for his plan and for them. God's got a plan. Messiah's coming, remember? But he cares about them. He doesn't want them messed up, and he doesn't want her messed up. So God intervenes in an interesting way. Next slide, please. So Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, she is your wife. How then could you say, 'She is my sister'?" Isaac said to him, "Because I thought, lest I die because of her." So he challenged him, why did you lie to me? And it says here, he said, she's my sister, because he was afraid to say, she is my wife. Well, that was honest, wasn't it? That's at least he's admitted that. But, I like that bit. Well, I don't like that bit. He said, I said this because I thought, I'll die because of her. Do you know what he's just done?
Saved his own life.
Well, yes, he's trying to save his own life. But he's saying is, you know, I thought you lot were so bad, right, so wicked, that I had to lie in order to make sure I didn't get killed. In other words, he's blaming them for what he did. Have we seen that before?
Yeah.
In the garden. Yeah. The woman you gave me, she took the fruit and ate it, and she gave some to me, and I ate it. Notice who he's blaming. It's you gave it to me, she ate it, and I ate it, and then from her. Yeah. So we're very good passing the blame. Isaac's learned that as well from somewhere, I should think. Don't do it. It's not your fault, really. Who do you take the blame? You should, if you've done it. Now, next one, please. Abimelech said... Oh, Abimelech is the name. It's a bit of a name like Pharaoh. Abimelech means my father, the king. Yeah? And it's a bit... There's two Abimelechs. There's an Abimelech in Abraham's time, and an Abimelech... Can't say that very quickly. Abimelech in Isaac's time. They may have been the same, because... They lived for long ages, but it's likely they were different guys, yeah? But interesting people. Yeah. Abimelech said, what is this you've done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. So Abimelech warned all the people, saying, whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Now I want you to notice what he says. What have you done to us? Not to me, just personally. But what have you done to us? Because he realizes that if something had happened with Isaac's wife, the nation would have copped it. They would have had the blame. Yeah, and he realizes that. And so he's telling him, you know, what you've done could have put other people in danger. And that's a real thing. Actions that put innocent people at risk of danger. He's warning him of that. Brothers and sisters, that's what lies do. Oh, well, there are other things besides, you know, but if you don't do it right, you can damage other people. That's what it's about, yeah?
It just shows how good the Lord puts society at for the problem.
Society has, it's influenced by the actions of individuals.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about this, Abimelech, whether it's the same guy or his dad or his granddad, I don't know, but this king is a good king. He shows commendable restraint. I mean, he could have had him put to death, you know. But he shows great restraint. He's acting as a kind of king. Yeah? He's a non-believer, but he's behaving better than the believer. Have you seen that before?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pleased non-believers behave well. That's good. Yeah. Right? But believers ought to be showing some fine examples as well. But this king shows commendable restraint. And again, God has intervened to fulfill his covenant. He intervenes by Abimelech saying, everybody, leave these people alone. That's what he's told the nation. Leave them alone, because we'll get some guilt if we don't. Yeah? So God's blessing him. Yeah. Next one, please. Now, Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. How about that? Now, what's that tell you about the Lord? Here's this guy, he's been lying through his teeth for weeks and months and maybe years, I don't know, yeah? And now God promises to bless him, and he goes out and plants a field. He doesn't own any land. You can buy a borrow land, you know, hire it or whatever. But he goes out and plants a field, and his field, next to all the other fields, I suppose, he comes up with a bumper crop. What do you think of that? That's all grace. Yeah. Why should God bless him? Because God's the God who blesses. When he makes a promise, he means it. Yes. And so God blessed him. He made the promise good. And I think also Isaac began to discover that in their family they got a real gift for farming. I know it was God's blessing, but do the Jews have a good gift for farming? You better believe it. Yeah? It says, the desert will blossom like the rose. You go to some parts that were desert not many 40, 50 years ago, they are producing food by the ton now. Yeah? Right, that's smart, I call it.
Yeah.
And this guy's got the gift from the Lord. So, he plants and he gets all this stuff. And he says he became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy. How about that? So is wealth a blessing?
Yeah.
Can be. Yes, yes. There is a lovely verse in Proverbs. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Yes, because riches can cause sorrows, as we'll see in a moment. But here we are. God's blessed him and shown his favour to this guy. That was important because the people of the land need to see this as well.
Yeah. So next one, please. The Lord blessed him, he became rich and gained more and more until he was very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and many servants, so the Philistines envied him.
How about that?
Yeah. He's got all this stuff, flocks, herds, crops by the ton, wonderful, blessed.
Are you glad when God blesses somebody else? Yes, well, the Philistines weren't, apparently. They were rather envious of what God had done for Isaac. And, you know, this is a very subtle thing. It happens against believers, Christians. It's also one of the roots of anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
What they do is they blame you because they haven't got any more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? It's nothing to do with you at all, mm-hmm. but they blame you because you got blessed and they haven't got any more. Mm-hmm. And so, poor old Isaac is envied by the Philistines.
Sad, isn't it, really? That's sinners for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, next one, please. Now the Philistines had stocked and filled with earth all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. So there's the well, they bunged it up. Now, I've got a question for you. Was that malice, or was it security that they filled up the wells for?
Well, in the context, it sounds like they'd just been mean to Isaac, yes? And that's quite possible, but we see in verse 18, they filled them after Abraham's death. And that's before Isaac turns up. So why did they fill him up? The possibility is it was malice. Yeah, they just didn't want him getting any more water because of his flocks and his herds. Yeah, but there's another possibility, and it's this: is that being in walled cities, it's not a good idea to let the enemies that come to attack you have nice clean water supply available. So block off their supply when you've got yours in your city. You better way of defending your place. So it could have been just security, but there's a possibly they were glad they were blocked up. I'm sure they were.
It still comes with a bit of malice, though, isn't it?
It's, yes.
They
started it. That's right. Yes. Very good. Yes. Okay. Next one, please. Yeah.
And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." Is that sad?
Mm-hmm. And it happens again. You know. Here is Isaac blessed. Is he intending to do them any harm?
No,
he could. And the tragedy is, if they knew this, the promise that God's given to Isaac was, "In you and your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." If they kept Isaac with them, they'd have been blessed. But no, we'll get rid of him. Yeah. So it's the power of fear. They're frightened of someone who's different to them. Yeah. But God is doing something special for Isaac. He's keeping them separate from the nation. The Canaanites were cursed, you know. Yeah, at the time of Noah, the Canaanites were a cursed nation. I mean, they were getting worse and worse by the time it gets to the time of the entrance of Israel into the Promised Land. But, you know, God's keeping the family separate from that family. And we'll see later with Esau how he tried to mess it up, of course. Yeah.
Next one, please. So Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. And Isaac dug the wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abraham his father, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. He gave them the names that his father had given them.
So he doesn't argue with them, doesn't quarrel, he just ups and goes and moves out and starts opening up the wells again. Digs them open, gives them the old names, you know, because that's what they'd called them by.
So he goes back to the old places and revisits them and opens up the wells. He's trying, isn't he?
He's showing grace. And not falling out with them.
Right, next one, please. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of spring water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarrelled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they contended with him. Esek means quarrel. Mm-hmm. So he named that well quarrel. He's changed its name, of course. And they're digging up the wells, and along come the locals,
and say, it's ours. How about that? Yeah, they didn't want it until he dug it. Did you notice that? Isn't that your work, eh? They weren't interested until he's dug it and he's got the water. But there we are. And what's God doing? I mean, they're quarrelling, of course. But what's God doing with Isaac? Teaching him patience, brothers and sisters. Teaching him to just keep trusting the Lord, keep being patient. Because, I put it this way, blessings and trials make growth. Yeah? Sorry about this, it's not good news for you, is it? Trials. Anybody want to volunteer for more trials? Well, very good, yes. There are some crazy people around, you know. But, yeah, trials will come. And James has one of the, I call it crazy, but I know James knows what he's talking about. In his letter, he says, brothers and sisters, count it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Count it pure joy?
Yeah.
Because, he says, you know that these things develop your character. Help you to trust God. Right, so that's what Isaac's having to do. Listen, please. The war of the wells continues. Then they dug another well, and they quarrelled over that also. So he called its name Sitnah. Sitnah means opposition. So he's giving the names to the well. But you notice the plants got bigger.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? I did that. It was a bit of graphics for you then. Yeah. You're growing as you trust the Lord and the challenges you face, how to cope with issues. Life will produce issues. How you cope with them is what makes you a Christian or not. Yeah? Next one, please. He moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, saying, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. So the word room is there. That's what it means. He called the place room. He's given us some room at last, Lord. A breathing space. And when did he get to well Rehoboth? After two other wells. In other words, you've got to persevere. Keep going until you get the blessing that you've been promised. So he does that. And so he has to dig a new well. And I offer this as a challenge. I mean, in a practical sense, it makes no difference whether it's an old well you've dug or a new one. Yeah. But I want to draw that in principle this. You can't go on Dad's blessings. You have to dig your own wells, brothers and sisters. You have to get your own supplies from the Lord. And that's really important. So he's got a new supply, he's dug a new well, and we're doing all right. Sheep and goats and animals, all right now. Next slide, please. From there he went to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake. That's great, eh? So, he's moved on, he's gone through the trials, he's got this supply now, and he's gone to Beersheba, and when he gets there, God appears to him again. And that's what I call a confirmation. I'm in the right place. I'm doing the right thing. God can do that. It's nice when he does that. It's a confirmation that he's doing what God wants him to do, and so it's encouraging him to continue trusting the Lord. And he says, I'm doing this for your father's sake, Abraham's sake. So he's not living on Abraham's faith, but he's living on Abraham's blessing. Okay? God promised that Abraham would get blessed through his descendants. Isaac believed it, and the blessing comes to him as well. Yeah? And God promised he'd bless all the world through his descendants, through Jesus. Are you going to believe Abraham's promise? I am. It's a good promise. So, here we are. It's all of grace once more. Next slide, please. So he built an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. So he needs another supply of water where he's moved from to Beersheba. So he's seeking fresh supplies again. But what he does is when God's appeared to him, it says he gave worship. He worshipped the Lord and thanked him for what he'd done. It's good to do that. When you get blessed, don't forget to say thank you. And he does that. He offers thanks to God. You see, he's learning to live for himself in his relationship with the Lord, not on Father's faith. Walking in Father's footsteps in the sense of seeing how God blessed Dad. Now, okay, I'll follow on and see how he blesses me as well. And he's seeking fresh supplies. Good. Next slide, please. Now, here's something interesting. When Abimelech
went to him from Gerar with Ahuzath his advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his army. So there's a group of them. These are high-ranking people in the administration. He's the king, advisor, military. So he's got top boys here with him, and they go and see. They're going to see Isaac. Yes, and here we have a lovely verse in Proverbs, and this is an example of it. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Right. Proverbs isn't a guarantee, yeah? But it's the general, the way it works usually, yes? So here we are. God is actually working this one out for him here. Right, next one, please. Isaac said to them, "Why have you come to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you?" So he obviously got the point from what they had said to him. But he tells them, but it's not a nasty sort of way. There's no recriminations. He says, "What you come for? What's it all about? Because you didn't want to know me before. So what you come for now?" Well, there you are. So next one, please. Yeah. They said, "We see plainly that the Lord has been with you. So we said, let there be a sworn pact between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you, that you will do us no harm, just as we have not touched you and have done to you nothing but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now blessed of the Lord." Well, they've seen something, haven't they? They see God's with this guy. Better get on his side, is what they're thinking. So we want peace. We'll make a covenant with you. That's quite good, isn't it? We've done you nothing but good. Not entirely true, would you say? This is what I call spin. Yeah, it's how they do it these days, you know. They remember all the nice bits and leave all the bad bits out. It's called spin, you know. Well, that's what they're doing. Well, he's not fooled, of course. Yeah. But they've noticed God's blessing him. Will people see that in you and me? How can they notice that we're blessed? And blessings come in all sorts of ways, don't they? Just how you cope with things, how your attitude is, and all of those things. God wants to show you to the world your examples. Did you know that? Yeah. So, Isaac's like that. Next slide, please. So he made them a feast, and they ate and they drank. So he welcomes them in, a kind response. He could have told them, clear off, you didn't want me, I don't want you, but he doesn't. He welcomes them. And here's a lovely verse from Romans that is an illustration of that. "If it possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all." How about that? As far as it depends on you. Some people just don't want to live peaceably, it would seem, but best you can. And obviously they're wanting peace, so he's on a good start already. But he welcomes them. Here we have some Middle Eastern dish. I don't know what it is. If you can recognise these things, I googled Middle Eastern food, and there we were. That's what came up. Sorry? Vine leaves, are they? Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, there you are. Dinner is coming. Right. Okay. Next one, please. Early in the morning, they rose early and exchanged oaths, and Isaac sent them on their way, and they departed from him in peace. Goodbye. Last he sees of them. Is that nice, eh? Quiet at last. Now, just one interesting thing about this. I read one commentary. It's a man called Isaac Pink. A.W. Pink, I think he's called. Yeah. There's a joke about Isaac Pink. Never mind that one. Yeah. A.W. Pink. And he writes about Jacob and Isaac digging all these wells. He says, while he's doing the wells, he's doing okay. But then he goes to seed. I don't think so. I mean, because he's gone quiet doesn't mean to say he's gone to seed. For the rest of his life, Isaac is doing what God wanted him to do. Looking after his family, you know, doing all those things. We'll see more, a little bit more of Isaac, but, yeah. Just because you're not in the headlines, doesn't mean to say you've gone to sea, brothers and sisters. Remember that, yeah? Just remember, you don't have to be out at the front, spectacular, all that stuff, to do what God wants you to do. Isaac did his bit, he dug his wells, he settled down, Bob's your uncle. So, nice and quiet. It's a blessing. Next up, please. That same day, Isaac's servants came and told him about the well that they had dug, and said to him, "We found water." He called it Sheba, that means oath or seven, yeah? And therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. Well, it was called Beersheba by Abraham, because it was a well where they made, there's another well there as well. Sorry about the well bit there. But Here's one of them today. You can go to this one if you want to. It's an ancient well outside Tel Beersheba city gate. They've modified the well, so they've got this bit, you pour the water in for the animals. Things like that, you see. That's the idea. But that's a well that's there. And again, he's following in Dad's footsteps now. He's acknowledging God's blessing. That's good to follow Dad in that. And he acknowledges God's blessing, and he calls the place Beersheba, as it was in the old days. So that's where he's going to live for a little while now. All right, next step, please. So I've got six lessons for you to learn, or to think about anyway. Yeah? As you go through this story, just six things to bear in mind. Number one, walking in Father's footsteps is good when they go in the right direction. Yes? Yeah, good to follow Dad when he's doing the right thing. Yeah? The encouragement of a good example. When somebody's has gone before you and they've done something right, we try to emulate that. Yeah, it's good to see the example. It says these things were written down as examples for us. Yeah, so that we wouldn't do the stupid things they did, but also we'd be encouraged by their faith in the right things that they did. So that's number one. Next step, please. Your footsteps have to be made by you. That's fairly obvious though, isn't it? Yes? Yeah. You can't live somebody else's life. It's no good Isaac trying to be like Abraham. Isaac's a different man altogether. He's the quiet sort. Abraham was the man, the go-getter, the active one. Jacob's going to be the active one. Isaac is the steady lad. I like Isaac. Steady, yeah? So, you can't live somebody else's life. You've got to be what God wants you to be. Next one, please. Don't call your wife your sister. Lies cause problems. That's the general truth, isn't it? Lies cause problems. Don't do it, brothers and sisters. Yeah? Not wise. Not wise. Next one, please. Discouragement and encouraging things seem to come together. Overcome the one and enjoy the other. Isn't that interesting? You dig a well and somebody argues with you. That's how it goes. You get blessed and they get upset because you got blessed. Well, you have to cope with the discouragements and thank God for the encouragements. And that's life. That's as it comes, yes? Praise the Lord. Yeah? Next one, please. Being friendly to people can pay off. Did you know that? Yeah. It does. I mean, it's not always the case. I mean, as I say, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men, of course. But being friendly does help. Yeah, it's good. It's one way to win people for Jesus as well. Did you know that? Yeah. Now, next one, please. Last one. God is at work in the details of our lives. His grace is active. His plan is still on track. He made sure it was on track. He intervened. Yeah. But in all those details of our lives, God's at work. And it's not always obvious, but you want to be thanking him for it all the same. Yeah. So, he's at work in the details of our lives. Strange, isn't it? And this is true, brothers and sisters. You'll find this. I can say this from long experience. You won't see it at the time, but when you look back, you think, wow, wasn't God amazing? Yeah. Quite often, you look back and you think, I thought I was planning that, but it was him, wasn't it, after all? Yeah. So God's at work in the details of our lives. By the time Isaac gets to Beersheba, he can think, well, Lord, you were right, weren't you? You want me to stay here, you want me to be blessed, yeah, and I nearly messed it up, but you protected me. So God's plan is still on track. And that is it, my brothers, I think. Yes. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, here we are with our little journeys in our lives, Lord. Places where there's challenges. People have filled in the holes that were meant to be blessings for us, Lord. And Lord, there are people envious because we've enjoyed your kindness and your grace. And yet, Lord, we can show your kindness and your grace to them, to win them for Jesus. Lord, thank you, the promise to Isaac, you've made good, and it's still being made good, that in him all the nations of the world shall be blessed. Lord, send out the missionaries, let the gospel go forth, call out many people to Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord, it had what seemed like very small beginnings. Who would have thought? Would have Isaac? Well, he did believe you, Lord, he trusted you, Lord, that he had many people, and he hadn't got any at the time, I don't think, Lord. Lord, thank you, when you make a promise, it's as good as done, even though we can't see the results immediately. We want to thank you for each other,
Thank you, we can help one another and be part of the journey of our lives together. Thank you, Lord, each of us is individual. We have to live our lives, make our own footsteps. Guide us and help us, Lord. Help us to trust you, to follow you wherever you want us to go. Lord, if it means leaving, help us to have the grace to leave. If it means staying, like Isaac had to, give us the wisdom and the grace to handle the challenges we face. Lord, in every way, we want to say thank you, that you're the God who's in charge, and Lord, as we look back, help us to be thankful, but Lord, while we're in it, also help us to be thankful. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.